Hi, Devin.
Hi, Chris.
This is Yoga for the Body Politic, and we're Chris and Devin. Today, our topic is about being good, and what does that mean? So I'm going to interview Devin about what it means to be good and what performing goodness is like and who is Devin / everyone being good for when they're trying to be good. That's how it'll go. But we'll just start by thinking about what you think it means and trying to think of a time that you were being good and who you were being good for and why you wanted to be good for whoever it was. And it could be you or some nebulous social person. So I'll say mine really quick and then I'll start interviewing Devin.
Okay.
What I've been thinking about for being good is really linked to performance, which I didn't quite put together until like an hour ago. But it's like performing in a certain way. Like when I'm trying to do the right thing, not because it's from inside me, but because that's what the outside says is the right thing to do, then it feels like this performance and it doesn't come from inside me.
Yeah, I was thinking about today and the last couple days about a distinction, you know, because I think that there's got to be some people who are like, but being good, where I went was like a positive thing.
Yeah.
And then you and I are going to take it and be like, ooh, being good is so performative and icky. We're always playing with language this way. Good could mean different things to other people, but we're using it in contrast to something more like being kind or being authentic. Those more like gut-rooted feelings of showing up for people that actually often include discomfort in the way that we often use discomfort as language for being present with what's going on without covering it over. And the covering it over is something that I associate with being good.
Right.
Like an effort, an ego effort on my part to not be part of what I judge.
Yeah. I'm interested what you said by ego effort. That stuck out to me. Could you talk about that a little bit more?
So in episode 5, we were talking about the difference around between impatience and patience as being something that had to do with sensing ourselves in an embodied way as being lone actors or as being part of a group of people, even people who haven't been specifically identified, but who have shared experiences, like shared hopes and shared ethics. And that when we're in that embodied feeling of being connected, we feel more patient. And I feel like that around any kind of distinction that I make in my body between egocentric action and action that comes from a sense of connectedness. So being good is like, well, all this terrible stuff's going on, but I am donating to the right cause, or I am, it's this like pulling away for me from the thing that I see and I dislike and I judge. And then I want to make a boundary, but the boundary is, like you say, it's performative. And the heavy push of the, when I say ego, like egocentric, is this idea that what's happening is about me.
So could you give us an example and maybe contrast the example of your experience with what we might trying to be getting to when we're being good? Like, what is the thing you think we're trying to get to when we're being good? And then what does it look like when we fall into this type of mindset or behavior pattern? And maybe an example would be a way to contrast those.
So the thing that I was thinking about in terms of being good and also along performative lines was activism on the internet generally, because that's a place where I get a lot of information about people's lives who are different than mine, but also a lot of information about hotspots, where something is really heavily turning right now. And there's suddenly this like shared psychic sense of this is very wrong or this is very bad. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there is like a group sense of like, how do we be good about around into at this badness?
Mm-hmm. Like what sort of badness?
Like the family separation stuff.
Yeah.
So there's this like sudden explosion on like Instagram that goes from the few initial postings of like, this is how bad it's getting, this is what we're starting to hear, to like everybody just reposting and reposting. There's a sharing of information that happens. And then to me, it feels like there's a reposting or an individual sharing that's like a desire to place myself. I see it in other people, and then I feel the urge in myself mm-hmm. to be like, I'm gonna put my rock and say, I'm here. Yeah. I'm in this circle of people who disapprove of what's happening or who feel empathy or concern for the families that this is happening to or who judge mm-hmm. the people who are acting out mm-hmm. this wrongness or badness.
That's interesting to me, what you were saying about impatience and wanting to have community. Mm. What you're saying about like staking your rock in the place.
Mm. Right?
It sounds like a desire to be part of community. Mm-hmm. And the way that you're trying to stake your part in the community is by saying, that's bad. We're mm-hmm. going to be good.
Mm-hmm. And yet, I would argue that the thing that's unsatisfying to me about it, the reason why I'm bringing this up in particular is because it's internet. So there's this like surfaceness mm-hmm. of community mm-hmm. that, you know, I was listening to this On Being episode, Krista Tippett was talking to America Ferrera and John Paul Lederach. Mm-hmm. John Paul Lederach engages with communities around peacemaking and like creative peacemaking processes. He was talking about how you can feel, he was talking about peacemaking movements and like leftist movements mm-hmm. as like a yeast process. He said something that was like so perfect about when you see this sudden explosion of interest in something and there's all these people who had not been interested are suddenly really interested, then you know that the fall off is going to be just as fast. Mm. You introduce some like quick yeast that you buy and you dump it into the mix and you make sure there's plenty of sugar in there and it's like,
yeah,
the dough is going to blow up. But that's not sustainable. Like right. that much yeast is going to eat all the sugar and then it's going to collapse
yeah.
right back down again. So what he was talking about was movements that are these very small groups of people who are really deeply committed and are committed in the long run. But also what they're committed to is their relationship with each other. Mm. So I guess in the use of the word community, we have to be careful.
Yeah.
Because it's a buzzword like any other
sure.
buzzword. There's the surface crust of I'm in community, which means other people match me.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the really deeper piece, which is not about the surface markers of matching and is much more about the quality of relationship and the longevity of shared work and interest.
So would you say that the what we're calling being good is trying to be in community on this like honest trying to search, but mm-hmm. but getting there because it doesn't mm-hmm. involve like the deep relationship, but is rather just looking for the markers of it.
Yeah. And like, I want to say my inquiry into my own behaviors around being good has really been part of my inquiry into my identity as a white woman.
Yeah.
When I do racial autobiography work and when I share space with people who are really reflecting my whiteness, is a lot of when I'm like, oh, wow, I have really been conditioned to be good. And it really gets in the way of me being able to hear other perspectives authentically and respond authentically. So what you were saying about an authentic desire, right? It's coming from a true want, but in the way that conditioning can do, I see being good as like a perversion of the authentic desire to be there for other people. It spins it around and makes it about me and about keeping myself safe.
That feels right. And it makes me wonder, how can you tell when you're being good, or what does it feel like in your body versus what does it feel like in your body when you are taking action or whatever that you think is part of that authentic, deep relationship that's intentional in trying to create some change?
Well, again, the internet is so, not that you can't have authentic exchanges there. One of the things that I think about with all this stuff is donating. I want to give money, and I want to give money in a bunch of different ways. I don't want to give money from a place of trying to like push the button so that I can go away from it, which is sometimes what being good feels like to me. I learned as a little white girl that, and I'm sure that other little girls learned this too, non-white little girls. I'm sure a ton of boys learned it too. I could have space inside myself to myself if on the outside I seemed to be agreeing or I seemed to be doing what was approved of. That binary of withdrawing in some way by being overtly present in another way, you know, sitting right or wearing the right clothes or having done all my homework, then meant that I could party and it was fine. That crops up for me when I feel the like overwhelm of my genuine sadness and concern about the acts of trauma that are being put on all of these children in the context of white supremacy, in the name of nationalism, in my name, as a person who's safe and whose children will not be subjected to this trauma. That's all so real. And when it turns into, I'm going to give $100 to ISIS, that action can happen as part of an overall pattern of engagement, or it can happen as like, I'm going to do this and then I don't have to think about it anymore and I can just enjoy my life. Or it can happen, I think, in like a third way, where it's like, maybe I'm recognizing that my overall pattern of engagement isn't at the Texas border. I'm engaged in what I think of as social justice and in acts that are about understanding how I operate in the system. And also, I can just give this $100 the way I just give a dollar to a guy on the street, which is only in presence in that one action. And it isn't about my identity. But then I'm not allowed to make a post on Instagram about how I donated and how I want you to donate. Because then it's all of a sudden about this scramblier feeling that I really associate with this surfacey being good.
And that brings me back to thinking about performativeness and also defensiveness, which might be maybe some sort of indicator. So if you're doing it to be good and someone's like, that actually didn't help me or actually it hurt me. And you're like, no, I did the good thing. Versus if you can be like, oh, okay. Tell me more about that. Or let me go think about that for a while. And I'm thinking about this, like, the one that I'm coming to mind immediately is one that is annoying to me, vegetarianism or veganism. Uh-huh. And it's annoying to me because I'm vegan. And there's this stereotype of vegetarians and vegans that it's very performative, uh-huh. that right. it's like, well, right. I don't eat meat, so you can't think that I'm bad in some other way. Mm-hmm. Or, well, I don't eat meat, so I can use plastic all the time. Mm-hmm. Or right. get all these soybeans from the Amazon or whatever. I don't know. Like I said, I think it's a stereotype and overused. That comes up with a lot of actions that are seen as good, mm-hmm. and it creates defensiveness in everyone, because part of the reason it's a stereotype is because some people who do eat meat feel defensive about that choice, especially in the face of someone who's like, I'm doing this for ethical reasons. Mm-hmm. And that's also a performative defensive type mm-hmm. thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I ride my bike for transportation, not all the time at all. I mm-hmm. drive my fucking minivan all the time. I like to ride a bike, and it's very recognized within our family that there's like the dual good in a way that I'm saying is not being good, but feels good.
Yeah.
Of being on a bike. Pretty much we all feel better when yeah. we go places on a bike. And it kills that joy to put too much ethical value on it, mm-hmm. which feels backwards, because mm-hmm. you'd think that it would bring even more joy yeah. in the bike riding if we were like, and in this moment, we're saving the earth while we're riding our bikes, and it's so fun. But it doesn't often do that. Often, it turns me into a good girl.
Mm-hmm.
To be riding my bike.
Yeah, and for sure I've got things to say about that as someone who teaches ethics, but that's for another
uh-huh.
time.
yeah. I'm aware of it. So, you know, like I work with, quote, at-risk youth, mm-hmm. right? And people love to tell me how good I am
mm-hmm.
for doing that work. And it's totally like the buzzkill at a wedding or whatever when I have to tell people this is what I do and I don't want to tell them, mm-hmm. just like I don't want to tell them that I'm a yoga teacher, mm-hmm. because everyone's response is, you are better than me.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hurry and tell you what a good girl you are.
Mm-hmm.
What that interaction is of other people deciding, like that split second, oh, you're doing one of the things that's been deemed good,
mm-hmm.
is like a whole other dive.
Yeah.
You know, my reaction to that feels very enmeshed in all the stuff that we talk about around body politic. That's like, these are all signs that I'm not getting to be present.
Yeah.
That I'm in reaction.
Yeah.
And I feel myself react, and it pulls me away from my center,
mm-hmm.
that reaction. And that's what I'm alert to. On the internet, you know, you were asking, like, what are the body signals that you get that you're straying into this good girlness, which, again, can also be reaction to good girlness. Right. You know, like, I want to put on my goth clothes on, like, a psychological level and be like, see how not good I am?
Yeah.
You know? Or, like, listen to my punk music like right. I used to. I never did the goth thing, but get out my cigarettes and turn up the Bad Religion. There's that me,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's still about identity. Like, I'm yeah. still chilling in the surface zone where there is an authentic desire, but it's not, for me, really being spoken to mm-hmm. in that space, because it's all at the edge.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm all right up at the surface or right up at the edge and not in the center of my being where I know what my values are,
mm-hmm.
right? And I'm acting from my values, or just where it's less about identity. Like
yeah.
it's less about who am I and who do other people see me to be? And how am I expressing my meanness in these actions, right? Because
yeah.
I feel like that is this thing about ethical action that weighs it all down so much. That's why I like so much to bring Buddhism into that, because it creates this levity of, it's not about me.
Yeah.
And like you said, when I get that trigger of feeling that it is about me, or that I'm afraid people won't see me, or I don't want people to see me, or I'm angry at how they're seeing me, it's all really surface and it feels very scrambly. Like a lot of fast thoughts or interactions is what I mean by scrambly, and a lot of fast reactions. That's a really an internet associated feeling for me. It's not that it can't happen in real life, mm-hmm. but this sense of like all of a sudden a lot of people are going to see these couple phrases, as opposed to here I am in a small group of people who have known me for a while, and they see this one action in the context of a lot of other actions. Mm-hmm. They are close enough to me to be in a position to do what you just said and say, that didn't really feel good to me the way you did that. Then I'm in a position to treat that one action as an action instead of as part of this solid thing.
Nice.
That's me.
Yeah. So I was going to ask these two questions separately, but especially on the tail of what you just said, I think they kind of go together. Mm. What is it like to be bad? Like, is that actually mm-hmm. the opposite?
Right.
And who is it for?
Mm. And the badness?
Or the goodness.
Or the goodness.
What you were saying about... Yeah, I was really connecting with what you were saying about seeing the thing as an action as opposed to an identity, mm-hmm. and also the scrambly feeling of like, is this it? Is this it? Is this it? Over and over and over again. Because now, like, the few words that you put on Instagram or whatever are your identity of Instagram, mm-hmm. rather than being seen as a whole being who said those things once mm-hmm. on the internet.
And also, right, like in the context of, say, family separation, this is my one time that I'm going to speak on Instagram about family separation. And the only reason I'm going to speak about it is because it's a hot point. And the only reason I'm going to speak about it is because I don't want to be seen not speaking about it, mm-hmm. or it mm-hmm. feels like such an emergency. I have to do anything I can. Yeah. And speaking about it is one way to try to do something, you know, just like shake yeah. the cage.
So like if you weren't to say something, then you would have, quote, been bad in the sense of not caring about
right,
this very
right.
important thing.
I didn't
thing.
Participate, right. Or I didn't urge other people to participate. Mm-hmm. Notice this thing. And some of that is the genuine desire. Like when I say shake the cage, I really do mean how hard it is to say there's nothing I can do. Mm-hmm. And how mad I feel when other people say there's nothing I can do. I'm like, that's not true. If we all agreed together that it wasn't okay, then we would change it. And that is all that like feeling too big or feeling too small feeling that we talk about, where when I'm taking actions from that place of trying to shake the cage, it's about me. It's about how I don't feel the way I want to feel. And of course, it's about these little kids. I am agonized in a really specific way as a parent, as somebody who understands the physiology of trauma, as a teacher, I'm really agonized about the actual children and their actual parents. And also, none of those actual children or actual parents are my friends. Mm-hmm. And I don't have real relationships with any of them.
Mm-hmm. Or with anyone who would be in that situation.
Well, that's not totally true.
Okay. But likely for most people, like I don't have anyone.
Right. And even if I do, one of the things that I love that I hear all the time on Instagram from people that I follow is like, don't be here. Go check in with your actual people. Where are they? The people that I know that I have in my life who are potentially, maybe they're not in the situation, but they know people who are, mm-hmm. or they're afraid mm-hmm. because of all this shit. Mm-hmm. Go check in with those people. And what I want to do is caps lock yell at other white people who I interact with on Instagram who are not going to be in that situation. I don't know. Why do I want to do that?
Yeah.
Because it will ask less of me in mm-hmm. a deep way, because the discomfort for me is a more surface discomfort. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. Yeah. But all that stuff comes up for me when I'm like, part of the reason that that's happening is because I'm trying to be good. It's easier to try to be good in a hall of mirrors, mm-hmm. right? When I'm in relationship with actual people And exactly like you said, they can say to me, here's what I'm experiencing right now in your company. It is not about me. It's about us.
Yeah.
Like, it's about what's going on between us. It's about relationship.
Yeah.
But the internet works so well as this hall of mirrors where what I'm encountering is myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can keep dressing that up and trying to make it seem more good.
Mm-hmm. And then I wonder what the caps lock yelling at other people is about.
I want to be bigger. If me and all these other people who are sort of like me and who are in my community, like these are people, many of them, who I really could ask something of.
Mm-hmm.
And I can go there and ask them to donate. And a lot of times that feels fine to me if I just go and say, here's a thing. If you're not paying attention to this, it's just a fucking $50. Most of us can spare $50 as long as we just don't buy some of the things that cost $50. That kind of just directing, if I want to use my Instagram account for that, I can. It feels like people can do it or not do it. It's such a surface interaction. Giving money is a surface interaction. That's okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, you know, you were asking, like, who am I being good for? And if I'm giving the money to Raices to be good in front of the people who are on Instagram with me, then shit is really problematic.
Yeah. I wonder if it's also problematic. I'm interested in what you said about the Hall of Mirrors, that it's a way to look at yourself on a surface level. And so doing that, it would be easy, I think, to tell yourself that you're doing it for yourself because you've got all these mirrors around you.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's, you know, again, one of these hard things to talk about, right? Where we're like, I don't think that any ethical action is really ethical unless I'm included as the person who's most likely to benefit. I have to be honest about the fact that I'm doing this action because the body that I live in will be a nicer body to live in if it does more things that feel true and right and real. That's ground zero for all of this action. So anytime we're claiming the exclusion of me in my goodness, I'm doing this for other people and it's not about me at all, I think that's a falling down. Even if it's just because eventually I will get wiped out if I'm not including myself and I'm not noticing the environment that I'm living in, I won't be sustainable, mm-hmm. my actions, right?
Yeah.
And also they won't be, like, it's not coming up from my gut. It's like a top-down, like, imposed action, right? Which to me is, like, you get back to that ego trap,
yeah.
right? And then at the same time, we're talking about, if I think all of it is about me and how I seem, then that's about self too,
mm-hmm.
right? So there's like, it's really hard.
That made me think of a Dogen quote.
Oh, perfect.
Which is,
when it's really hard, get out the zen.
Get out the zen. I don't have the whole thing in front of me, but part of it is to do zen is to study the self, and to study the self is to forget the self. This is sort of, seems to me like this intersection that zen can help us with about what the role of the self is.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you that there is no ethical action if it doesn't involve me in some like authentic, genuine way, in a way that will make the good and honest things inside of me come outside of me. That's what ethical action feels like. But in order to know what the good and honest things inside of me are, then I have to spend a lot of time investigating myself. Otherwise, I'm just paddling around on the surface.
Totally, right? And investigating myself means looking at not only the good and honest things.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's kind of what I meant about just really looking at my conditioning and my particular conditioning as a white woman and as
right.
me.
Right.
And a lot of stuff there makes me uncomfortable. and you were saying defensiveness, right? So another place where there's a lot of activism on the internet for me is that I listen to, especially primarily, Black women activists and educators in spiritual world, in social justice worlds, who are like trying to help all of these white women who want to be good, not be violent in their trying to be good. There's a lot of reflecting there. I see you doing this and that is violent. I see you doing this and that is from your whiteness. And there's also a lot of really beautiful, and it must be just so exhausting, and like the little bit of it that I've done for other people is so exhausting, of saying, this is what it feels like to me when you do that. Which is like such a sharing of this is the way that it hurts when you do that, so that women can feel the violence. And this is just particularly women, because that's who I mostly roll with, right? And because the conversations happen in a different way, I think. But there's these comment streams after an offering is made or an instruction is given. Like, there's this like 21-day challenge that this woman is doing that's called You and White Supremacy. It's on Instagram. People are commenting their stories, and they're also doing a lot of like, you know, thanking and apologizing, and it's really emotional. People are confronting that self stuff, like really looking in because of her prompts, and all kinds of stuff comes out, you know, defensiveness and really genuine heartbreak, but also a lot of surfacey stuff where they're like scraping away at the surface stuff, trying to get deeper. And I don't want to say they, like we, you know. And I really identify in other commenters, but also really in myself, trying to say just the right thing.
Yes. That's what it feels like to me often, is just trying to say the right thing. And I can tell in myself when I have actually the right thing and when I am trying to be good, because of the inside sensations of it. And it goes back to a lot of the things we've already talked about, like the spontaneous action. Like, if it's the right thing, it feels like it just kind of slides out. And then I'm like, yeah, that's the thing. And if it's not, it's a lot of like back and forth and back and forth.
I think it's interesting too, because one of the things that I just love about actions, and I want to take actions and make actions, because it produces feedback. So I love to say a thing, even if it's wrong, and have someone who's in relationship with me be able to say, wrong, and here's why. And then I'm like, ooh, it comes right back. It loops through me, right?
And that's what I'm, that's what I'm thinking too, is, well, when I feel it sort of come out and pop, there it is, then it's okay if it's the wrong thing, because someone will say, oh, by the way, that was the wrong thing. And then it can come back into me and, you know, get digested somewhere or whatever. Whereas if I've spent so much time trying not to say the wrong thing, when someone's like, ah, by the way, that's not the right thing.
Defensiveness.
Yeah, exactly.
And identity.
Because I worked so hard to create it.
Rather, it was about me.
Yeah.
Being good.
Yeah. So we've been talking about this a lot, and as you said at the beginning, sort of in a negative way. So I think my final question is, what's the opposite of being good? Like, like, how are we going to talk about action that is not this type of thing without using good? Or how are we going to use good in another sense? And how are we going to know which is which?
So you know this about me, that I'm always steering away from binaries. And whenever there's like an opposite, I'm like, oh, sorry, gonna make a circle. So I'm always really interested in process. If entering into a particular environment, like the internet, gives me a lot of triggers, gives me the opportunity to encounter this good girl who I'm having to work with all the time for the rest of my life. And I'm especially having to work with her because I'm raising two girls. And really, I'm raising like 8 girls in community. Then I'm really wanting to get to know her. Like, I really want to get to know this facade or this conditioned character and get intimacy with that and with how it gets performed. And at the same time, I want to do as little harm as possible with that character. For me, there's a lot of really bringing it inside, where when there's the feeling of performative action, when I feel those embodied feelings of the scramble and of the self-editing, like the circles get tight and there's a lot of reactivity and I'm concerned about who will see and I'm thinking about what they will think and there's a lot of projecting myself outward and trying to get into other people's bodies so that I can see what they see.
Mm-hmm.
And in all those ways, I'm abandoning the center of myself.
Mm-hmm.
Then the invitation is to come into that person who is at the center of myself, who is fundamentally okay and terrified of not being okay. The performance and the intensity of the good girl is to protect her.
Mm-hmm.
And it's why the good girl is violent.
Mm-hmm.
And she hurts other people. And especially people who have less power than she has in whatever social setting. Right? And the possibility of understanding how she works and what her strengths are is that she could talk to the most powerful person in the room because she knows all the codes. The good girl is to sustain and uphold the power structures. If I can use her abilities, but I can stay with the vulnerable person that I am, then I don't have to get rid of her or judge her.
Yeah. That's really nice.
Thanks. Signing off.
Bye.
Until next time.
I'm going to say a thing.
Oh, great.
Hi, Candy.
Hi, Candy.
I love you.
Aww.
Bye.